Hello, everyone. Welcome to Yachting International Radio. You're with Corinne Rayson from the Crew Coach on the Wellbeing Project. Now, I know as yachties, we joined the industry because we have a love for travel. And when I connected with Brianna, I was like, oh my gosh, the yachties are going to love to hear from you because I know that you are a source, both of you are a source of knowledge when it comes to travel and how you can DIY your travel. So I'm so excited to have both of you here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure being here.
Now, I'm curious to know how you got into your business because you obviously were working and Brianna, were you studying at the time before you started or you were doing other jobs? Like, how did you actually quit your jobs and end up here today?
Sure. We were actually, we had, you know, very typical 9-to-5 kind of jobs, very corporate, whatever else. Aaron was in corporate finance. I was a software engineer at the time. And quite frankly, we loved our jobs. And we enjoyed the work that we were doing. But we had this other calling, this draw to experience the world and see more of it. We had done a lot of traveling, just kind of ad hoc, you know, your standard 2-week vacation kind of thing. And we had heard of these other people who would always say, hey, you know, I quit my job and went traveling for a year, or I went traveling indefinitely, whatever else. And we always said, man, it sure would be great to do that kind of thing. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? And so our story actually started with an April Fool's Day joke, if you can believe that. And we were planning a trip to Japan. And shortly thereafter, we actually put something out on April Fool's Day saying that I had been accepted to the JET program, which is basically an English language teacher stipend program where basically English speakers can come live in Japan for a year and teach English. And they put you up in housing and pay you all of your living expenses, all of that kind of thing. And, you know, right away, my sister was like, yeah, right, you wish. She saw right through it. But other people were like, oh my goodness, that's so exciting. Wow, how awesome is that? And then a few of them were like, wow, that's great. Oh, wait a minute. I just figured out what day it is today. Rats. And so we got our laughs and said, yeah, you know, April Fools, we're not really doing this. And wouldn't that be great? And everything else. And so that evening, as we were talking about it over a bottle of wine, which is when all of the best ideas are hatched, we thought, you know what? What's stopping us? Like, seriously, we are renting. We don't have kids. We don't, aren't restricted by anything. Really, we have our lives here. We have our jobs, but what's stopping us from going and traveling? We have the money. We can totally do this. And then the next morning when we sobered up, it still sounded like a good idea. So we started saving to actually make that happen. And but the funny thing is we didn't actually tell anybody about this plan until a year later on the following April Fool's Day. And then we made the announcement and so many people were like, oh, you did this last year. I'm not falling for that again. Until the next day, of course, we were able to say, you know what, April Fools, but not in the way you think. We're actually doing this. And everyone's like, can't believe that. That's so awesome. How exciting. What are you going to do with your cats? And how are you going to do this and all this other stuff? And so it was just a very exciting journey. And that's really how we got into doing this full time. Cause then we saved up for about 3 years, until we had a magic number that we had, predetermined, that we could survive on at least for a year plus some buffer. And once we hit that number, it's like, great, now we can actually do this. So we put in our notice, we started traveling, and then COVID hit. but even coming home from COVID, we haven't ever looked back. We never went back to the 9-to-5, and now we are permanent nomads, even though we're currently in one place, building our business and visiting with family and that sort of thing. We plan to get back out on the road as soon as we can, as soon as it's safe and responsible to do so. And as soon as we've got some of our own personal, affairs in order, we are definitely planning on that. So kind of a long-winded answer to your question there, but that's kind of where we're at now.
So. I love a good story. So you came home because of COVID, and then you both developed Big Tiny World, which is your business.
Mm-hmm. And we had sort of had it going in the works even when we were started traveling. So we started it as a blog. And when we came home, we really blossomed that into a business.
Okay. I know as an entrepreneur myself, we develop businesses based on particular pain points. So what did you notice with regards to travel and how you could both close the gap with your knowledge?
You want to answer that one? Let him talk for a little bit.
One of the main pain points, and in fact, I had this false belief for a long time myself, that travel has to be expensive and international travel has to be expensive. So, I mean, even our trip to Japan was very expensive, but it didn't really have to be. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we were able to stay in Europe for 4.5 months without paying a dime for lodging, for example. Mm-hmm. And these kinds of tricks are things that we could help other people with so they can go live that dream too.
But it's beyond just the expenses, because so many people, I mean, you can travel for next to nothing and maybe not necessarily enjoy your travels. We are what we consider mid-grade travelers in the sense that we know how to cut those costs in expensive areas like lodging and flights, for example, mm-hmm. in order to splurge in other areas so that we can go take a fancy tour, or we can visit a nature reserve in Namibia, which was one of the highlights of our trip, you know, and things like that. Yeah. So
how do you help your clients? Like, is it a list of directions or tips that you provide them with regards to, say, saving on flights or accommodation? And then because you've stayed at those accommodations, you share mm-hmm. your resources. How does it work?
So we started with things like that. And again, we came from a blog. And so it was all about, oh, here are tips for if you're going to this destination, and here are the things that you can see here. And here's ways that you can save on X, Y, or Z. And we took all of those pieces that were kind of jumbled and all over the place, and we put them together into a trip planning system. So now we can it applies to any kind of trip, that wherever you're going and whatever you're looking to do, if you follow it step by step, it makes the entire process so much easier. And not only will you save money along the way, but you'll save a lot of time and a lot of headache and a lot of stress, because I know trip planning can be very stressful when you have all of these moving parts. And do you need a visa? And what do you do for currency exchange? And how do you arrange where you're going to be staying? And how long should you even stay in a place? And what do you do there? And all of these different pieces that can get very overwhelming for some. And that's exactly why a lot of travel agents have a job, you know, because people don't want to deal with that. They're like, you take care of it. You tell me where to show up and I'll be there, kind of thing. But we believe that you get really more out of your trips if you learn how to plan those things yourself, because then you're able to identify what you really love most about traveling. And no one is going to be able to tell you what that is better than you. Yeah. And if you can identify that core, and you build everything on top of that, then suddenly you have this trip that is perfectly tailored to you and your travel preferences. And we teach you how to do exactly that, and how to start with that core and build upon that framework to get to your ultimate trip that you can then iterate on. And every trip is better than the last.
Okay. And when you say teach, what does that look like?
Your turn.
So we have our Facebook groups and things where we give out tips and things. But we also have a course that we've put together mm-hmm. that we're about to launch in the next 45 days.
Something like that. But we launch periodically throughout the year. And so it's the kind of thing where if that's the type of education that interests you, certainly we have that available. So we have the course, but then we also have a membership for ongoing support. And that is basically bringing in guest experts of different regions. It's having planning hot seats. So people who have a trip coming up and they're like, I really need help finding a cheap flight. Can you help me do that? And we provide that opportunity as well inside of our membership. And so we have a lot of different ways that people can work with us depending on your preferences and what kind of assistance you're looking for. We do also offer some one-on-one coaching, but that is a higher tier offering as well. Most of the people that we help come through our course and our membership.
Brilliant. So as travel experts, I would say, what are some of those tips that you could share with the audience today?
Do you want to? I'm trying to let him speak sometimes because he tends to be the more quiet one.
Yes, I am.
And I'm trying to not dominate the conversation.
He's a quiet observer.
But that makes him such a great planner. He's really great.
Yeah. In detail oriented, maybe. Yeah, I'm a bit like that, as an observer.
So tips. So one of the main tips I would say would be for getting cheaper flights to pay attention to the different days of the week. Mm-hmm. Because on certain days, the prices will be a lot lower than others. And if you have some flexibility in your schedule, you're not flying on Saturday to the next weekend, Sunday or something like that, you usually can find a better deal. And it seems like Tuesdays appear to be often the best times to take a flight out.
Gosh, that's so interesting.
Another tip that we love really emphasizing, and one of the core principles that we operate on, is really connect with the locals. They know all sorts of insider tips. They know ways to see activities for a lot cheaper than a lot of the tourists, or they know off the beaten trail things to do, or where the best restaurants are that you wouldn't necessarily find on Yelp or wherever else. And there are a ton of resources for that, even if it's local Facebook groups, or we found some folks on Reddit even. And I mean, Instagram, people are posting all sorts of things, but make sure you're getting the people who actually live there as opposed to people just posting all of the Instagrammable spots. But yeah, really connecting with the locals as much as possible is a great way to not only have that insider scoop on things to do, but it also gives you a much deeper connection with the local culture and gives you a more genuine experience while you're there.
That is so, so true. I remember as a yachtie, with regards to restaurants, and then I'll go on to what you've just said, but I feel that when you go to a new port or a new location, any restaurants by the water's edge are so directed towards tourists, and the food is so overpriced and it's fried and it's yuck. But if you go further out, and it's not that much further, it's a totally different experience. And then in Bali, I met some locals who are still friends today. And when I go over there, I see them. And the last time I was there, they took me on a trip to the markets and to the waterfalls and places that I would have never been able to access or know about previously, and part of a cultural experience where it was a ceremony that they involved me in, and it was just so, so beautiful, and I loved it. It's those memories you cannot replace, and yeah, I think it's so, so special. So yeah, be careful obviously who you talk to. Yeah. But I think it's definitely a fantastic tip.
But there are lots of resources for that. Even couch surfing, for example, has hangouts on there. So couch surfing is where you can basically literally crash on somebody's couch. And that's a fantastic experience if you're into that as well. And we did that all over the world, and people are so generous in doing that. But you don't have to stay at somebody's house to get that kind of experience. They also have hangouts where you can just say, hey, I'm in the area, who wants to hang out? And this bunch of locals will come and they'll go drinking, or they'll hang out at some local park or whatever. And so that's a great thing. There's also Airbnb experiences, which I know is on the rise now, especially with more people gravitating toward Airbnb in general. And then free walking tours. We did that all over Europe, and those are fantastic. They generally expect a tip at the end, but I mean, for a few bucks, absolutely, it's more than worth it. And you often meet up with local people who are not necessarily local from there, but they are touring the same area, and you can meet up with other friends who aren't necessarily local, but they may know some other things of the area as well. And so those are some great resources for that.
We even did Meetup. So
yeah, that too.
Meetup.com.
Yeah.
Just, we found in Japan, a bunch of people were going to go hang out at this bar, and they were a little, they were mostly white people, but there was a couple Japanese, I think there was at least one Japanese or two Japanese there. So we got to meet a couple of them, but it was mostly just a drunken party in Tokyo.
They're not all like that though.
But at the same time, if I were to just go to a new city and I wanted to do something unique there, and I could find a meetup there, and I just join it and see if I could go do some hikes or something with them.
I know a lot of people rave about hostels and the people that they meet in the common rooms of hostels, but you don't have to stay in hostels to have these similar kinds of experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. So any tips around safe travel if you are a solo traveler? Anything?
You just did an entire video on this that's going to be released very soon.
Not on solo travel. But
not solo, but safety, which applies to fear. Anybody.
So I guess as a solo traveler,
be aware of your surroundings.
Obviously, be aware of your surroundings. If you are able to meet other people, I mean, most solo travelers really aren't that alone. They are the ones staying in hostels a lot of times, and they meet up with other people and make friends and go do things.
Oftentimes, they're better at meeting friends than people like us traveling as a couple.
Yeah, I think
we rely on each other so much that we're not as, we don't go outside of that bubble quite as much as solo travelers.
I would guess not, you know, things you do in your own home city a lot of times, you're not going to go walking down some dark alleys at night or anything. You're going to want to stay on streets where there are people. I think that's a good thing to do.
Don't walk and look at your phone.
Kinds
of things.
And then, like, as far as like pickpocketing and things go, which almost happened to me in Rome, if there are a lot of distract techniques that people will do, like they'll spill something on you and they'll offer to clean it up, and meanwhile they're also taking stuff off of your person. So watch out for that. And then somebody walked up to me and asked, "Hey, what time is it?" And he asked me if I was from Africa because I had a jacket on that I bought there. Next thing I know, I say no, and I keep walking forward, and this other guy is coming from this other side, and he's coming right at me, and I just kept walking out of there. And that was in a crowded area, but I just got out of that situation. But you just got to be careful when people come up to you out being really friendly out of nowhere. That's just kind of a red flag.
Can be, especially in a very populated area.
I mean, if you're out like taking pictures and some other people over there taking pictures and they're like, "Hey, you know, are you from America?" And then they strike up a conversation. Yeah, that's probably okay. You're not going to be worried about it. But it, I mean, if just like,
if they're insistent on the question,
that's usually a sign that they're after more than just conversation with you.
You can also Google the common scams in a lot of places. I know in Japan, for example, one of the scams is they'll have basically fake monks going around, and they'll be very insistent of trying to offer you like bracelets or charms. Yeah. And then once you accept it, they're like, "Okay, now you have to pay for it." And they won't leave you alone. Like, "Oh, but you accepted this gift. Now you have to pay me for it." Whereas true monks will they're going to be in the background. They'll have maybe a sign or they'll have a bucket, and they're obvious that, okay, they rely on the goodwill of other people and they're not going to be begging for it aggressively. And so I guess the biggest thing is, if people are overly aggressive, or if you feel uncomfortable in any way, just get out of the situation. Don't be afraid to say no. Don't be afraid to be rude and just walk away and say, I'm sorry. Nope. Not dealing with this. Pretend you don't hear them, something, but get out of that situation, and don't feel bad about doing so.
Yeah. And another big thing for me when I was traveling is using your intuition. So there were two occasions where I was in Italy for one of them, and then Bodrum, Turkey for another, where I felt like I was being followed. And then you got that voice saying, no, you're being paranoid. Don't worry about it. And I'd give it more time. And I was like, okay, well, the path's about to split. If they do go my direction, then that is certainly a red flag. And that's what happened. And then they walk fast, and then I stop and let them pass me. So it's very, very scary as a single female to be put in that position. So yeah, having someone that you could call, I was lucky because I had the crew who I could call to come get me. But yeah, if you are alone and you've met someone, you know, in your accommodation or something like that, communicating where you're going and what you're going to do, I think is really, really important. And I had my passport stolen on a train between, I think it was Antibes and Monaco. And I must have briefly drifted off to sleep. But I was very much aware with my bags and try to like keep everything tight. To this day, I'd have no idea how it's happened.
They're good. They get very good, which is why we also have certain gear that we like to use to help mitigate some of that risk. So I always wear a money belt, for example, under my clothes, like literally in my pants, so people can't get into there without my knowledge.
Yeah, not up here.
Not around your neck, not like strung across your shoulder or anything like that. And then we have pickpocket proof pants. Say that five times fast. And it has like all of these hidden pockets and pockets within pockets. So even if people, a potential thief unzips the primary pocket, they reach in and they're not going to get anything because they don't know that there's another hidden pocket in there. And that's where you actually have your passport or your cell phone or whatever. Yeah. And so it's a deterrent. I mean, nothing is, they advertise them as pickpocket proof, but nothing is completely foolproof, but it does very much help with that.
I mean, if somebody's standing there with a knife in your face, then you're probably going to give them what you got because you don't want to get killed. But if it's somebody, if you're just like in a crowded area, like in
Rome, on a train or
on a train or whatever, then they're not going to be able to just kind of sneak in and get stuff off of you.
Another option is to carry a decoy wallet. And we did this while we were traveling around the world as well, where you have, you know, that standard position in your back right pocket of you hold your wallet there, but you've got some old wallet with some expired cards and maybe a little bit of the local currency so that they feel like they got away with something. And they're much more likely to leave you alone then if they feel like they actually got something as opposed to keeping trying.
Also, like if I'm in a crowded area and I have my expensive camera related stuff with me, I'll put that bag on my front. So that way I can keep an eye on it when I'm in a super tight crowd, when you have barely any room to get around because somebody could really be that close to you and opening up your bag and taking your stuff out of it.
And you'd never know, especially if you're on a crowded train and you're jostling around anyway, you'd never know.
Well, it's very clear you have some amazing tips and skills. So how do people find you or connect with you to learn more?
So the best way to contact us is through our website. It's bigtinyworld.com. And that then links to everything else. We're Big Tiny World on all of the social media. We're most active on Instagram and Facebook and on YouTube. Aaron especially has been posting a lot of videos out there recently. And so there's some great content out there. We're posting stuff like crazy because we really want to help people out there and spread the word and show how accessible travel really is.
Yeah, my top six travel fears is going to go out tonight.
Perfect. So they can search for that on YouTube.
It's Big Tiny World Travel on YouTube, right?
Yeah. So some of our social media, Big Tiny World was already taken. So we had to have Big Tiny World Travel. So we're either Big Tiny World or Big Tiny World Travel on all of the socials. So if you search for Big Tiny World, you'll find us.
And we'll put links to this video as well so that they can find it. I'm so glad we connected because I know your content is going to help our listeners so, so much because we have a big passion for travel. Any opportunity where we can travel when we're off the yacht, we're doing it. So thank you both so much for your time and sharing your wisdom with us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
This has been a pleasure.
Did you enjoy this interview? I have no doubt that you are walking away with some hot tips around travel. Just to let you know that in the TCC Tribe membership, we have guest experts like Rihanna and Aaron who share their wisdom with us regarding particular niche topics, which can include leadership, well-being, and personal development. So if you are interested in the membership, please head over to the link in bio, or if the link in bio is not an option, then send me a DM and I can direct you to our waitlist page. Take care and speak soon.